Praise God. One, two. One, two. All right. Praise the Lord. I need someone to give me a thumbs up when we go live. I need someone to let me know. Right. Praise God. Good morning. Welcome to Ascend Church. We're so glad that you've joined us today. Thank God for technology, right? So wherever you may be, we've got some folks here this morning, but wherever you may be, we're so glad that you tuned in this morning. And I want to encourage you to put aside every distraction right now, to participate with us. As we get ready right now, we're going to worship the Lord. I want to encourage you to sing with us. Worship God with us. Amen. Father, we thank you today for this day. This is the day you've made. We rejoice and we are glad in it. We've come to give you praise today because, Lord, you are good. Just like when Jehoshaphat faced that impossible situation when the armies came against him and he said, we don't know what to do, Lord, but our eyes are on you. And they went marching into battle, singing, praise the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. And as they began to praise, Lord, you fought the battle for them. The enemy became confused and you gave them the victory. And Father, right now, in the same way, our eyes are on you. And we come to give you praise today. We come to sing how good you are. So sing with us, worship with us in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Everybody stand up. Happy Sunday. Sing along with us.
To scream it out from every mountain top. Your goodness knows no bounds. Your goodness never stops. Your mercy follows me. Your kindness fills my life. Your love amazes me. And I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good, good to me. Nothing and no one comes anywhere close to you. The earth and oceans only reflect the truth. And in my darkest night, you shine as bright as day. Your love amazes me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good. You are good to me, and I sing because you are good, and I dance because you are good, and I shout because you are good, you are good. With a cry of praise, my heart will proclaim, you are good, you are good. And in the sorrow rain, my life celebrates, you are good.
Thank you that everything is in your hands, God. We can rest. We can find rest, God, because you can turn any situation around. God, you can bring us through impossible situations. You can turn what looks like an ocean into a pathway. God, we give you praise in this place. We glorify you. Hallelujah. And I search the world, but it couldn't fill me. And man's empty praise and treasures that fade are never enough. But you came along and put me back together, and every desire, it's now satisfied here in your love. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing, nothing is better than you. Show you my weakness, my failures and flaws. Lord, you see them all, and you still call me friend. Because the God of the mountain is the God of the valley. There's not a place your mercy and grace won't find me again. praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We magnify you this morning, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Great song. Let the King of my heart be the mountains where I run, the fountain I drink from. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the shadow where I hide, the ransom for my life. Oh, He is my song. 'Cause you are good, you're good. Oh, you are good, good. Oh, 'cause you are good, you're good. Oh, 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 you are good, you are good. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside my sails, the anchor in my waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Let the King of my heart be the wind inside myself, the anchor in the waves. Oh, He is my song. Let the King of my heart be the fire inside my veins, the echo of my days. Oh, He is my song. 'Cause you are.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let me down. You're never gonna let. You're never gonna let me down.
You're never gonna let me.
To shut down. It's going to shut down. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise God. He is good. Amen. Say, the Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. We're so glad you're here today, the brave souls here today. Amen. We're so glad you're watching today. We're going to have our prayer and praise time right now. We want to pray for you. Whatever need you may have. You know, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person. And then He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. And He said, those who believe in My name, He said, they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We believe in laying hands on people and watching, letting God heal them. I got a phone call from someone whose name is Rosie. And she said, Pastor Steve, please will you come and pray for my dad. He's in Gardens Hospital. He's been in hospital for 3 months, for 90 days, and they don't know what to do. He had heart surgery. He had, I believe he had a kidney transplant or liver transplant, but he had all these different surgeries, and 90 days, and there were all these complications, and he's 70 years of age. So I went to Gardens Hospital a week ago Friday, and I went and I prayed for him. I anointed him with oil, and praise God, they sent me a text. Rosie, she said, Pastor Steve, she sent me a text on Wednesday. So I prayed for him Friday. On Wednesday, she said, I just wanted to let you know that my dad was sent home from hospital today after 90 days in the hospital. And he said that, she said, the doctors are amazed. The doctors are saying this is a miracle. They can't believe he's even alive. And praise God, he's at home. The Lord is our healer. Amen. And if you need healing today, if you need prayer today, we're going to pray for you. And I want to ask our prayer partners, our prayer team, to come and help me today. If you need prayer, come, we're going to pray. I want to pray for all you watching online, no matter what you may be facing. I want to pray. If you need prayer, just right now, close your eyes and receive this today. Father, I pray for every person who's watching today, whatever it is they may be facing. Lord, whatever it is they're dealing with, whatever challenges, I thank you, Lord, that when we call upon you, you promised that you would help us. You are our healer. You are our deliverer. You are our provider. You are our protector. Lord, you are everything we need, and we look to you. I thank you that just like King Jehoshaphat, when he was facing that impossible situation in 2 Chronicles 20, they were surrounded by an army. They were outnumbered. They didn't know what to do. They said, Lord, our eyes are on you. Father, our eyes are on you today. I thank you right now. I pray that you heal people who are watching right now. Let your healing power flow through their body. I command that sickness to go in the name of Jesus. I thank you for strengthening people, encouraging people, filling them with your peace, Lord. I thank you for providing for people supernaturally, Lord. Thank you that you are the God who provides all of our needs. I thank you for providing every need, for healing, for delivering. I thank you for your angels that protect every person. Thank you, Lord. Your word says in Psalm 91 that no plague will come near our dwelling. Thank you for protection, Lord, about our house and our family. We look to you and we trust in you, and we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. If you agree, shout amen, somebody. Amen and amen. Do you know that when we say amen, amen means so be it. Amen is a very powerful word. It means so be it. When you say amen, you're declaring so be it, let it be. And this next song we're going to sing is called The Blessing. And it mentions that word amen a lot. And just want to let you know, every time you declare amen, you're saying so let it be. Let it be done in the name of Jesus. Let's sing this final song called The Blessing. If you're watching this at home, sing with us. Worship with us. There are Christians all around the world in their homes giving God praise and worshiping the Lord today. And we join as one and we lift our voice to heaven and we let this earth know that Jesus is Lord and our faith and our trust is in Him. Can you say amen? Come on, let's worship Him.
You.
church, we're going to agree with heaven. When we sing this song, I said it last week, I want you to open up your hands and open up your mouth and agree with heaven. The Spirit of God is here in this place. God, we come in agreement with your word over our lives. God, we come in agreement with heaven. God, we receive your blessing. God, we receive it this morning. For you are for us. For you are with us. Hallelujah. Somebody sing it. Come on. Generations and your family and your children and their children and their children. May his presence go before you and behind you and beside you, all around you and within you. He is with you. He is with you in the morning, in the evening, in your coming and your going, in your weeping. Just sing this. Give him a praise. If you agree, if you thank him for his presence in this place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I say amen for my family. How about you? For my life. I say that for your life. I thank you, Father, for the favor of God upon them and upon their families and upon their children and their children's children, Father. Thank you for being before us and behind us and beside us. We know you're with us and you're for us. And we magnify you in this place today. Thank you, Lord. God is so good. Amen. Don't you feel stirred and encouraged this morning? Well, welcome to Ascend Church. Welcome to those that are watching online. We're so glad you're a part of the service today. And you are a part of the service. So just act like you're in church. Turn around and why don't you just elbow bump somebody and tell them it's good to see you. Wonderful. Well, how wonderful to see you this morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord, isn't it? And like Pastor Steve said, thank God for technology. You know, every week we have at least twice as many people watch online at the time, and then many more that watch afterwards. But today that's increased. And so we thank God we have all those capabilities and people are able to enjoy church from wherever they are. But we are so glad that you are here, and we pray that you will be blessed abundantly and encouraged and strengthened. And we want to welcome anyone who's visiting for the first time, because we love having visitors in our church, don't we? Do we? And so if you are here for the first time, we'd like to just hand you a visitor pack where you're sitting. Would you mind just waving your hand if you're here for the first time? Anybody, God bless you. Welcome. Come on, let's act like we mean it. Come on. If you got somebody in your living room, welcome them too. And our ushers, thank you, Roxroy. Thank you, my brother. And they'll give you a visitor pack. We're so glad that you're with us. I pray you get exactly what you need from the Lord today. And it's wonderful to be in church. It's wonderful to sit under the word. I don't know about you, but I want my faith to be strengthened today. Come on. Come on. Turn on the news and you feel your faith kind of draining from you, right? We need to be where we can get some faith put into us. Isn't that right? And you know, we were so blessed this week because many people who knew they weren't going to be in church this week and wanted to give, people were giving online constantly through this week, and that is an absolute blessing to our church, and we want to really thank you for doing that. You know, I thank God for that capability, that people are able to still support the house of God. There's a way for you to do it right there on the app. If you're on the app, there's a donate button. If you're on Facebook, you're able to do that. But we ask you right now, as before we get into the word, that you would, if you're watching, to like it, tell us where you're watching from, comment, amen, do whatever. We like to see those comments, and share it. You know, some people start a watch party, which opens it up, and other people are sitting there with nothing to do and scrolling through Facebook, and sure enough, they see this, and they click on, and God has a word for them. So go ahead and do that. I want to remind you of our four purposes. Our first purpose is to help you to know God better, amen, always, because even if you know God and you know God well, you can always know him more. Isn't that true?
That's right.
Just even as we sing that song, don't you feel like you know him a bit more? You remember that he's for you and he's with you. You remember all those things. We want you to know God. We want to help you to find freedom. We struggle, all of us have things that we deal with in our lives, but we want you to find freedom in every area of your life. And we want you to discover your purpose, and we want you to make a difference with your life. So that's our purposes of our church. And we are ready for the word of God today.
I'm ready.
Aren't we? You ready?
It's good to see you today. We've got quite a few people here. Brave souls. We're so glad you're here this morning. We're so glad all those who are watching this online. You know, a few years ago, when I was growing up, I'm all grown now, but when I was growing up, we never had the internet. Just think about what would have happened 20 years ago if we were facing what we're facing in the world today. Now, the church goes on. Everyone's watching online, so we're so glad you're watching online today, and I want to encourage you as we get into God's Word, you know, get your notepad, get your pen, put aside every distraction, and just take the next 30, 40 minutes and let the Lord speak to you and encourage you this morning. I have a word for you this morning. Amen. Are you ready for God's word today? Let's just pray. Father, we thank you that you are Lord over all the earth. And we thank you, Father, for your word today. I thank you that we do not have to fear, Lord, that we can choose faith over fear. And we choose to trust you and to believe you today. And I thank you, Lord, as I speak your word today, that you fill people's hearts with faith and all fear is removed. In Jesus' name, Lord, we give you all the praise for everything said and done in the name of Jesus. Everyone said amen and amen. That's what I want to speak about this morning, is faith over fear. Choose faith over fear. Right now, many people in the world are fearful, of course, because of the coronavirus. But let me tell you, we can choose faith over fear. Every day we have that choice. We can either believe God is in control, that he's taking care of us, that he's protecting us, that he's got good things ahead of us, or we can go around negative and worried and fearful, wondering if we're going to make it, expecting the worst to happen. You don't have to let yourself be afraid. You can choose to not be fearful. You can choose to be in faith instead. The Bible says in Psalm 78, verse 22, it says, they turned away from faith. And they walked away in fear. They failed to trust his power to help them when he was near. It's talking about the children of Israel. It says they turned away from God and from faith, and instead they walked in fear. Now, you know, Jesus told us in John 14, verse 27, he said, my peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give you. Not like the world gives do I give you. He said, do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. Do not let your heart be troubled. Neither let them be afraid. He said, stop allowing yourself to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourself to be fearful. Notice that we can, it says, don't permit yourself to be fearful. Do not allow yourself to be agitated and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. That means we got a choice. Isn't that right? We got a choice. We don't have to be afraid. We can choose rather to be in faith. And when the children of Israel, when God brought them out of Egypt, God did amazing miracles. The Bible says that they turned away from faith. And instead they walked in fear. Even though God had supernaturally delivered them, they continually doubted God and they chose fear over faith. And as a result, they never entered into the promised land that God had for them. And you know, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, it says all these things that happened to them in the Old Testament were examples, object lessons to us, to warn us against doing the same thing that they did. They were written down, the Bible says, so we could read about them and learn from them in these last days as the world nears its end. Isn't that interesting? The Bible says the things written in the Old Testament were written that we can learn from them. That's why, so we don't make the same mistakes. Let's learn and not make the same mistake. Let's not let fear have a hold on us. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Say, God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. You see, fear is not from God. Fear is a spirit and it's demonic. And we must not accept fear. And we must resist it. The Bible says in James 4, verse 7, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. You know, you've got to resist fear. You mustn't allow it to have a place in your heart or a place in your mind. There's over 100 scriptures in the Bible that tells us not to fear. In Isaiah 41, 10, it says, do not yield to fear, for I'm always near. Never turn your gaze from me, for I am your faithful God. I will infuse you with my strength, and I will help you in every situation, and I will hold you firmly with my victorious right hand. In Psalm 46, verse 1, it says, God, you're such a safe and a powerful place to find refuge. You're a proven help in a time of trouble. More than enough and always available whenever I need you. So we will never fear. So we say, I will never fear. So we will never fear, even if structure, if every structure of support were to crumble away. We will not fear, even when the earth quakes and shakes, moving mountains and casting them into the sea. It says, for the raging roar of stormy winds and crashing waves cannot erode our faith in you. And the Living Bible says we do not need to fear even if the world blows up and the mountains crumble in the sea. Listen, the Bible says if the world blows up, we don't have to be afraid. If the mountains crumble in the sea, we do not have to be afraid. Psalm 49, verse 5, it says there's no reason to fear even when troubling times come. Are we facing some troubling times now? It says there's no reason to fear even when troubling times come. Even when you're surrounded with problems and persecutors who chase at your heels. It says, I know the loving God will redeem my soul, raising me up from the dark power of death. And then in Proverbs 29, 25, it says, fear and intimidation is a trap that holds you back. Fear is a trap that holds you back. But when you place your confidence in the Lord, you will be seated in the high place. And then one more here, Proverbs 12, verse 25. It says, anxious fear brings depression, but a life-giving word of encouragement can do wonders to restore your heart. Listen, fear brings depression. I want to give you a life-giving word today. I want to lift your spirit today with God's word. Amen? God doesn't want you to fear. No matter what we may be facing, God says we never have to be afraid. And if you look up and study, find out what the word fear means. It means a feeling of dread or anxiety concerning the outcome of something, the likelihood of something unwelcome happening, panic, trepidation, distress, anxiety, worry, unease, uneasiness, foreboding, nervousness. This is what fear is. Where on the other hand, what is faith? Faith is a complete trust in someone or something, a strong belief in God, a confidence, optimism, hopefulness. That's what faith is. I hear people say, you know, Pastor Steve, I'm afraid I'm going to lose my job. I'm afraid this marriage isn't going to last. I'm afraid my children are going to get into trouble. They don't realize it, but they are choosing fear over faith, because fear and faith both have something in common. They both ask us to believe that something is going to happen that we can't see right now. Isn't that right? Fear says believe the negative. Fear says that pain in your side is the same thing your grandma died from. It'll probably be the end of you as well. Faith says the Lord is my healer. This sickness is not permanent. It's just temporary. Fear says the coronavirus is going to destroy the economy. You're going to go under. Faith says my God will supply all my needs. Fear says you've been through so much, you're never going to be happy again. Faith says your best days are still out in front of you. See, here's the key. Whatever you meditate on, that's what's going to take root in your heart. If you go around all day thinking about that fear and let it play over and over in your mind again and again, then you give that fear a right to become a reality in your life. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 33, the one who always listens to me will live undisturbed in heavenly peace, free from fear, confident, courageous. You will rest unafraid and sheltered from the storms of life. It's very important what you listen to. Let me tell you, if you want more peace, turn off the news for a bit and read your Bible. Because the Bible says that you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. You can't be meditating the whole time on bad news and stay in peace. The Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you want to have strong faith, you got to feed yourself on God's word. Faith in God comes by hearing God's word. And fear comes the same way, by what you see and by what you hear. That's why we got to be careful what we're listening to. If you watch the news media all day long, let me tell you, don't be surprised if you're afraid. If you watch the news media all day long, you'll be terrified. You're going to, one time Jesus had a father, his name was Jairus. He came to Jesus and he asked Jesus to come pray for his little girl. She was 12 years old and she was very, very sick and she was about to die. And so Jesus went with Jairus, but on the way, he got delayed. A woman with an issue of blood delayed him, came, and you know the story, grabbed the hem of his garment. And so some messengers came from Jairus' house, and they said, listen, don't trouble the master any longer because your little girl has died. There's no point in Jesus coming. What did Jesus do? Mark 5, verse 36, it says, overhearing, but ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be struck with fear, keep on believing. Just keep on believing. Now, the Bible says Jesus heard the bad news that came from Jairus' house. He heard it, but he ignored it. Do you know you've got to learn to ignore sometimes the bad news? He said, don't be afraid. Keep on believing. Do not fear, only believe. Why? Because fear opens the door to the enemy, just like faith opens the door to God. Do you know Job in the Bible? Job went through a lot of problems. Everybody knows about, you know, poor old Job. But you know, Job, he said this in Job 3, verse 25. He said, what I always feared has happened to me, and what I dreaded has come true. You see, that's the mistake Job made. He said, the thing I feared, it happened. Fear opens the door for the enemy, because fear is expecting the worst. Fear is using your faith in the wrong direction. Your faith will work in the negative just as well as it works in the positive. Just like faith can bring in good things, fear can bring in negative things. That's why I encourage you, don't speak fear, speak faith. David said this, I think this is very powerful. In Psalm 116, David said, even when it seems like I'm surrounded by many liars and by my own fears, and though I'm hurting in my suffering and trauma, I will still stay faithful to God, and I will speak words of faith. David said, when I'm surrounded by fear, I will be careful to speak words of faith. It's important to speak words of faith. Can you say amen? Job realized his mistake. Because in Job chapter 6, verse 24, he said this. He said, Lord, teach me, and I will hold my tongue. Cause me to understand wherein I have erred. How forceful are right words. Job realized he'd been saying the wrong things. Teach me, Lord, to hold my tongue. But you've got to be careful to speak faith and not fear. Like one man said, Pastor Steve, everything's going great in my life. I just recently got engaged. My business is doing well. But instead of enjoying it and thanking God for it, he said, I'm just so afraid it's not going to last. I'm afraid it's too good to be true. I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. See, when you go around worried, expecting the worst, it's like you're inviting it into your life. It's like you're drawing in the negative. You're actually helping that fear come to pass. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get cancer. You just invited cancer. Well, I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. You just invited a layoff. Turn it around. Speak words of faith. Say what God says about you. Quit inviting defeat and sickness and bad breaks. Agree with what God says. Start inviting victory into your life. Use your faith in the right direction. When you have that thought come to your mind, you're doing good, but get ready. It's about to come to an end. Don't let that take root. Switch over into faith. Say, no, Father, you said that your favor would last a lifetime. You said goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Not some of the days of my life, all the days of my life. That's activating faith instead of fear. One time, I was facing a situation in my own life. It really had the potential to turn out real bad. It'd gone on for months. Every morning when I woke up, first thought that came to my mind was, you know, this isn't going to work out. You might as well make plans for defeat. That's how fear is. Fear will try and dominate your thought life. If you allow fear to, let me tell you, it'll keep you awake at night. It'll steal your joy. Fear will steal your enthusiasm. I was so tempted to be worried and to be fearful. But God spoke to me, not out loud, but down here in my spirit, in my heart. He said, Steve, if you keep worrying about this, and if you keep mulling all the reasons why it's not going to work out, he said, because of your worry, you're going to allow that to come to pass. But if you will trust me and use that same energy to believe me instead of worrying, then I'll turn it around and I'll cause it to work out to your advantage. Let me tell you, I got a new perspective. I realized that worry and fear and negative thinking, it's not just a bad habit. It actually allows the negative to become a reality. And I decided I wasn't going to worry about it anymore. And when I was tempted to get discouraged, I just used that as a reminder to thank God that he's in control and that he's fighting my battles for me. And you know, just a couple of months later, that situation, not only did it resolve in my favor, but it turned out better than I could ever imagine. Amen? I heard about a Marine, 24 years old. He was about to report for duty, his second tour of duty over in Afghanistan. And before he left, he told his family, he told his friends that this would be his last tour, that he wasn't going to make it out. And his family and his friends, they tried to encourage him. They said, no, don't say that. Yes, you're going to make it out. He said, no, I feel so strongly this is going to be the end. I just got a feeling. Before he left, he wrote farewell letters to his wife, to his two children, telling them goodbye. He was not only was he convinced in his thinking, but he acted on that fear. And he wrote those letters. And 3 months later, while he was on a mission, just like he thought, he hit a landmine and he was killed. And the thing that he feared came upon him. I wonder what would have happened if he would have replaced that fear with faith. I wonder what would have happened if he'd gone around saying, Lord, I thank you that no weapon formed against me can prosper. I thank you that your angels are watching over me and protecting me wherever I go. Maybe he would still be here. But let me tell you, I know this. When you agree with fear, you are giving what you fear the right to come to pass. Matthew 18, verse 19, Jesus said, if two of you on earth will agree concerning anything they ask, it will be done for them by our Father in heaven. If two of you on earth. God promises when we agree in faith with another believer, God will do what he said. And I believe this principle is true even in the negative. When the enemy puts a thought in your mind, if you agree with it, then your agreement is what gives it the power to come to pass in your life. But if you don't agree, when the thought comes to you, your children are going to get in trouble. And you say, no, I don't agree with that. My children will be mighty in the land. My children will fulfill their destiny. You just stopped that fear from coming to pass. If the thought comes to you, you better not go out today, you're going to have an accident. You say, no, I don't agree with that. God has a hedge of protection about me. His angels protect me everywhere I go. When the thought comes, that sickness is what you're going to die from. It's been in your family for 3 generations. You say, no, I don't agree. With long life, God will satisfy me. The Lord is my healer. You see, the key is don't come in agreement with the fear, because if you don't agree, the only way it can come to pass is if God gives it the permission. And let me tell you, if God does, you can rest assured that it's not going to work against you, it's going to work for you. So you've got to pay attention. What are you coming into agreement with in your life? We've got so many opportunities to worry, to live in fear. People worried about the coronavirus, worried about the economy, worried about their children. But I believe God is saying to you what he said to me. Don't use your energy to worry. Rather use your energy to believe him. Amen. Amen. It takes the same amount of energy to believe as it does to worry. It's just as easy to say God is supplying all my needs as it is to say I'm never going to make it. It takes the same amount of effort to say I'm going to live a long, healthy life as it does to say I don't think I'll ever get well. I hear people say, I'm afraid I'm going to get laid off. I know what they're saying. I understand they're concerned, and it may be valid, but you can't go around meditating on that, expecting the worst, and expecting to have a bad year, because when you do that, you're using your faith in reverse, in the wrong direction. Instead of constantly worrying, just say, God, Lord, my life is in your hands, and I know that you are guiding and directing my steps, and I'm not expecting defeat or failure. I'm expecting to have a blessed year. I'm expecting to go over, not to go under. Amen. Someone says, Pastor Steve, what if I do that and it doesn't happen? Well, what if you do and it does? Even if you were to get laid off, you don't have to go around discouraged. Well, I knew it wouldn't work out for me. No, you can stay in faith knowing when one door closes, God will open another door for you. Amen. If you'll have the right attitude, he'll give you a better job with more money, with better benefits. I've seen it happen many, many, many times before. Are you using your energy to believe, or are you using your energy to worry? Are you expecting God's favor, or are you expecting to just barely get by? You know, when two blind men came to Jesus, they wanted Jesus to heal them. And the Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 that Jesus touched their eyes and he said, according to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done to you. And the Passion Bible says, you will have what your faith expects. Say, I will have what my faith expects. Say, I'm expecting good things. I'm expecting to live a long life. I'm expecting God to protect me from the coronavirus. Amen. Listen, I'm not activating my fears. I'm activating my faith. There's too many people going around expecting the worst. Like I heard about this one lady every night, almost every night for years, she thought she heard a burglar downstairs. And she would make her husband get up and go and check. And one night she thought she heard something, and she asked her husband to go check. And he got up, he went down like he had 1,000 times before. But this time, his eyes got real big because he was staring down the barrel of a gun. There was a burglar in the house. And the burglar said, don't make a sound. Just give me your valuables. He got his valuables. He handed them to the burglar. The burglar was about to turn around and leave. The husband said, hey, you can't leave yet. You got to come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been expecting you for the last 30 years. Listen, we got to change what we're expecting. Don't go through life expecting disappointment, expecting bad breaks, expecting disaster. That's putting your faith in the fear, and that's what allows it to become a reality. Quit expecting the worst and start expecting God's favor in your life. Amen. Some people are being talked into having a bad year. They've listened to the news report for so long, they expected their finances to go down. They're expecting to barely get by. No, our attitude should be, I'm expecting to have my best year so far. I'm expecting God to prosper me in the desert. I'm expecting God to protect me and my family. I'm expecting every negative situation to turn around to my advantage in the name of Jesus. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, God did not give us a spirit of timidity, cowardice, and fear, but of power, love, and a disciplined mind. You see, if we're going to overcome fear and live a victorious life, we have to have a disciplined thought life. We have to be disciplined in what we're thinking. Because that's where the battle's taking place. Your mind is the bullseye of the enemy's target. And if he can control your thoughts, he can control your whole life. If you don't guard your mind will automatically default back to these thoughts of fear and worry and anxiety and negativity. You've got to be disciplined in your thought life because your thoughts are powerful. Like this one lady, I've told you this before, she bought a 6-foot plant for her bedroom. It was a ficus tree. She had plants all over the house. She was very experienced with plants. And one morning she woke up, she looked at that plant, and out of the blue she had the thought, this plant's not going to make it. It's going to die. And the plant was as healthy as could be. There's no reason to believe that thought. But she made the mistake of accepting that thought and thinking it over and over and over and over again. And she even said to her husband, I'm afraid I wasted my money on this plant. It's not going to make it. And he said, why would you say that? It's perfectly healthy. All the other plants are doing great. She said, oh, something just tells me. I've got a feeling it's not going to make it. 2 weeks later, she noticed the leaves started turning yellow. A couple of days later, all the leaves fell off. A week later, the whole plant withered and died. And one day she was praying, and she heard the Lord speak down in her heart. He said, you killed that plant with your thoughts. See, when we agree with the fear, it can come to pass. And later on, she told her husband, she said, I know this sounds crazy, but I think I killed that plant with my thoughts. He looked at her very strange. He said, I hope you're thinking good thoughts about me. I wonder how many times we've killed our dreams with our thoughts, with our words. How many times have we stopped God's blessings, God's favor, God's healing, restoration, because we're dwelling on the fear? A lot of people, they go around with this nagging feeling that something's not going to work out, afraid their business is going to dry up, afraid they're going to lose their health, afraid their child's going to get off course. It's because they're not disciplined in their thought life. They allow that fear to take root. Don't agree with the fear. Agree with what God says about you. Because if you're going to live in victory, you've got to be disciplined in your thought life. What you dwell on is what you're inviting in. That's what you allow to become a reality. And so many people, they're allowing fear to stop them from enjoying their life. I remember years ago, I used to listen a lot to Pastor Fred Price. And he was the pastor of Crenshaw Christian Center in Los Angeles. He retired now, and his son took over. But I remember I used to listen to so many of his cassette tapes. And he told how he used to be so afraid of flying, and he was afraid of swimming. And he had this dream that he was going to minister around the world. But how are you going to do that if you won't fly? He would go sit at the airport and watch the planes take off, and just so long to be going, traveling. But he was deathly afraid of flying. And he chose to believe the word of God, and he started declaring the word of God. I've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a disciplined mind. He started declaring, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And do you know that he overcame that fear of flying? And since then, he's flown over 1,000,000 miles. That's 40 times around the world. He also had a fear of swimming because of something that happened to him when he was a child. He had a fear of water. But he chose to believe God's word. And he started declaring and confessing his faith. I have not been given a spirit of fear. Do you know he went on to become a certified scuba diver? From being afraid to swim, he became a scuba diver. From being afraid to fly, he's flown around the world 40 times. Don't let fear stop you from enjoying your life. People have all kinds of fears. People are afraid to fly, afraid to drive, afraid to go on the 95, afraid to go out in the rain, afraid to talk about Jesus, afraid to pray in public. You don't have to be controlled by that fear. You cannot be in faith and fear at the same time. They're opposites. You've got to choose faith over fear. Amen? Like I read about this man named Nick. Not our Nick, another Nick. But this man named Nick, he was also a big, strong, tough man. Our Nick's 6'5" back there, but I'm not talking about that Nick. He was also a big, strong, tough. He worked on the railroad yards for many, many years, and he was one of the company's best employees, but he was also a chronic worrier. He was always fearing the worst. He was always talking about what might happen. And one summer, the crew was told they could leave an hour early to attend the birthday party of one of the foremen there. And so Nick was working in a refrigerated box car, and somehow he accidentally got locked into the car. He didn't have a cell phone, didn't have a radio, and everyone else had left for the party. And when he realized he was trapped in that box car, he started to panic. He started screaming at the top of his lungs, beating on the doors for hours until his fists were almost bloody, and finally his voice gave out. And he was aware that he was in a refrigerated box car, and he guessed the temperature was below freezing. He began to fear and worry, and he thought, if I don't get out of here, I'm going to freeze to death. There's no ways that I can make it all night in this temperature. And the more he thought about it, the colder he got. And he was shivering uncontrollably. He found a knife, and he scratched a note on the wooden floor. So cold, body getting numb. This may be my last words. The next morning when the crew came in and they opened that box car, they found Nick's body curled up in the corner. The autopsy revealed he had frozen to death. But here's the amazing part. The refrigeration unit in that box car was not turned on that night. And the temperature in the box car where he froze to death was 61 degrees. He froze to death because he was convinced in his mind that he was in a freezing car. The thing that he feared came upon him. Let me ask you, are you fearing freezing to death, so to speak, even though it's 61 degrees? Because fear blows things out of proportion. Fear makes problems much bigger than what they really are. Maybe God sent you here today for a perspective change. Maybe what you're fearing is never even going to happen. Maybe that obstacle that looks permanent is really only temporary. Maybe like Nick, you feel trapped and everything is telling you you're never going to get out. You're never going to get ahead. You're never going to get well. You're never going to get married. Let me tell you, God is saying to you, don't worry. The refrigeration unit's not turned on. I got you in the palm of my hand. No weapon formed against you can ever prosper. My angels are encamped about you and protect you wherever you go. No virus can come near your house. What are you afraid of? Trust me. See, it may feel dark and lonely, like it's never going to work out, but God is saying, if you'll stay in faith, I'll deliver you, I'll protect you, I'll heal you, I'll provide for you, I'll take care of you, I'll vindicate you, I'll restore you, I'll bring you out. Not just will I bring you out, I'll bring you out better than what you were before. Amen. Now listen, we got to do our part. Don't panic. Don't fear the worst. Don't imagine every negative thing that could happen. Instead, like David, say like David said in Psalm 27:1, you, Lord, are the light that keeps me safe. I'm not afraid of anyone. You protect me, and I have no fears. Armies may surround me, but I won't be afraid. War may break out, but I'll trust in you. You see, you may feel trapped. The medical report doesn't look good. My bank statement tells me I'm not going to make it, but that's okay. Like David said in verse 13, I'm expecting the Lord to rescue me again so that once again I will see his goodness to me in the land of the living. I'm expecting God to rescue me. Are you expecting God to protect you? I'm expecting God to protect me. I have no fear about this virus. I'll walk right into the hospital and pray for people with a virus, because how can I lay hands on the sick from 6 feet away? Let me tell you, I will lay hands on the leper like Mike has. I'll pray for people with a virus because it cannot come upon me. I believe God's word is true. I refuse to be afraid. David said, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Let me tell you, I know God is still on the throne, and nothing I'm facing is a surprise to him. The enemy doesn't have the final say. God has the final say. And God says in 2 Corinthians 2 verse 14, thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Say, thank you, Lord. You always cause me to triumph in Christ. Now be strong and be of good courage, and know that the Lord, your God, is with you. Even though throughout life, fear will come knocking at the door and tell you the worst case scenario. Like that young Marine, you're not going to make it out. You're not going to stay healthy. Your business is going to go down. Let me tell you, here's the key. When fear knocks at the door, you need to let faith answer the door. Don't give those thoughts of fear the time of day. Don't let them intimidate you. You need to answer back, speak back with faith. Lord, you said you'd fulfill the number of my days. You said your plans for me are for good, not evil. You said what's meant for my harm, you'd turn it around and you'd make it to my advantage. When fear knocks at the door, let faith answer the door. But when we give in to these thoughts of fear, you know what happens? It distorts your perspective. Fear is like a fog. It obscures your vision. It makes things look worse than they really are. Are you with me, family? When we lived in Cape Town, we lived in Cape Town for about 8 years. And Cape Town, often in the morning, you'd have a dense fog. I mean, you can't even see where you're going. You ever been in a fog like that where you can't even see where you're going? It happened in Cape Town often during a certain season. And I heard that a dense fog that can cover 7 city blocks and is up to 100 feet thick can be contained in less than 1 glass of water. That's what I read, that this 7 city blocks of fog can be contained in a glass of water. In other words, that fog looks big and intimidating, but in fact, there's really nothing to it. It's just a bunch of vapors that can fit inside a small glass. That's the way fear is. Fear presents itself much bigger than what it actually is. It'll tell you all the worst case scenarios, try and get you worried, anxious, panicky. In fact, fear is an acronym for false expectation appears real. Fear is a false expectation that appears real. Fear looks much bigger than it is. It looks intimidating. Fear will tell you you're never going to get well. You're going to get coronavirus. Your finances, man, is going to destroy your finances. Your child never going to turn around. But when that fear comes to your mind telling you you're not going to make it, that sickness is going to be the end of you, your marriage is not going to stay together, you got to look that fear in the eye and say, fear, I know your tricks. I know your bite is not near as big as your bark. You look and sound impressive, but I know better. There's really nothing to you. You're just like a fog. You may look permanent, but I know you're just temporary. Things in my life might look dark and foggy now. Looks like it's never going to change, but I've got inside information. I know that the sun is still shining, and it's just a matter of time before this fog dissipates, and it's going to be clear and beautiful in the name of Jesus. That's how you activate faith instead of fear. And let me tell you, when you do that, the greatest force in the universe will go to work on your behalf. Your problems may look big, but our God is much bigger. Your obstacles may be high, but how many of you know we serve the Most High God? When thoughts of doubt and fear and worry come, you got to rise up like David did. And like he's in Psalms 23, verse 4, I love it. David said, Lord, even when your path takes me through the valley of deepest darkness, fear will never conquer me. You remain close to me, and you lead me all the way. He said in verse 6, your authority is my strength and my peace. The comfort of your love takes away my fear. I'll never be lonely, for you are near. Why would I fear the future? For your goodness and love pursue me all the days of my life. Then afterward, when my life is through, I'll return to your glorious presence to be with you forever. David said, why should I be afraid? Because the goodness of God follows me all the days of my life. And when my life is over, I'll be in the presence of God. I don't fear life and I don't fear death. There ain't nothing to be afraid of. You got to say, I will not fear. I will not worry. I will not dwell on the negative. You got to look that fear in the eye, so to speak, and say, you don't intimidate me. I know who I am, and I know whose I am. I know my God is with me, and my God is for me. You got to make up your mind that you're not going to allow fear or worry. In fact, Isabel shared this verse with me at Luke 21, verse 14, at prayer meeting on Tuesday, I think it was. Luke 21, 14, Jesus said, make up your mind not to worry beforehand. You know, you're going to make a choice. I'm not going to worry. I'm not going to be fearful. I choose not to worry or fear. Jesus said, don't permit it. Fear is like a fog. It'll always look much bigger than it really is. It's not as bad as it is telling you. But you see, if you make the mistake of dwelling on that fear, then those fears turn into imaginations. And our mind will start playing out the worst case scenario. Just like you're watching a movie. Negative thoughts turn into negative imaginations. And if you allow it, a small fear can multiply and get blown out of proportion. For instance, you may have a pain in your side. There's really nothing to it. You had too much to eat for dinner. But that thought will come to you. Oh, that's cancer. Your mother had it. Your grandma had it. Now it's your time. If you swallow that lie and go around worried and fearful, discouraged, before long, you'll start seeing yourself in hospital. You'll start seeing yourself not able to take care of your children. You'll start seeing yourself at your own funeral. Fear will tell you, what if your company starts laying people off? You better worry. You better start worrying. No, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 5, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I've got to cast down wrong thoughts, and I've got to bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of God's word. That's what the New International Version says. We take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You've got to take every thought captive. You've got to cast down wrong imaginations. Don't let negative pictures play on the movie screen of your mind over and over and over. You're the owner. You've got the remote control. You can change the channel. Because if you let your imagination run wild, let it run in the right direction. Put on movies in your mind of you accomplishing your dreams, of overcoming that obstacle. Show scenes of yourself healthy and prosperous and rising higher. You got to do this by faith. In the natural, it may look like your family's never going to stay together, but your attitude should be, I'm changing the channel. I'm not watching that movie. I see my family restored. I see my children excelling. I see us fulfilling our destiny in the name of Jesus. You got to choose the right channel. And let me tell you, some of us will go to a new level in our life if we'll be more disciplined in our thought life, if we would not allow those negative images to constantly play in our mind. Because let me tell you, if you're going to stay in faith, you got to be careful what you listen to, and you got to be careful who your friends are, careful who you associate with. Because let me tell you, fear is contagious. Worry is contagious. Negativity is contagious. If you're around people, they're always complaining, they're always discouraged. Let me tell you, that spirit can get on you. If your friends are constantly complaining, talking about how bad life is, they've got a gloom and doom report. And let me give you some advice. You got to find some new friends. Because that fear, that worry, that negativity is contagious. And if you hang around them long enough, there's a good chance you'll catch what they have. And I know you love your friends. You don't have to be rude. You don't have to go and announce to them tomorrow, Steve told me you're contagious, man. I'm staying away from you. No, please don't do that. Be more tactful and do me a favor. Don't use my name. But, be kind, respectful. But just gradually, sometimes you just got to pull back and not spend as much time with them. Don't go to lunch every day, with someone that's always crying the blues, talking about how bad things are. You can't do that and expect it not to affect you. Some of you may have to be around people like that. Maybe your co-workers like that. You don't have any choice. Maybe you're married to somebody like that. If that's the case, God will give you the grace to overcome. But what you need to do when you're not around them is take heavy doses of faith, heavy doses of hope. Fill your mind with victory. Amen? Because fear is contagious. But the good news is faith is contagious too. Victory and joy are contagious too. That's why it's important to come to a place like Ascend Church. Because you need to get around other people of faith. We're encouraging one another today, aren't we? You know what's happening today? You're not catching a cold. You're catching healing. You're not catching defeat. You're catching victory. You're not catching doom and gloom. You're catching hope and a vision. You're catching God's favor. I've got to warn you, we're contagious, whether you realize it or not. You're getting stronger. You're getting more joy. You're getting more peace. Your faith is increasing when you get around other people who are blessed and happy and prosperous, full of faith. Let me tell you, they're making you better. And sometimes you may not always feel like coming to church. Maybe you had a long week, and maybe you're tired. Maybe you're feeling a bit discouraged. But let me tell you, that's when you need to do it more than ever. You need someone speaking faith into you. Amen. I mean, more than ever right now, we should be focusing on the Word of God, and you're at home, man, instead of watching the news all day, watch someone preaching and encouraging you. You need to be around believers or lift your spirits, because we draw strength from one another. Amen? You may not know the person sitting, you know, the 6 feet away from you. If your wife is sitting there, you may not know that person, but let me tell you, their faith, their peace, their joy, their victory is making you better. You're going to go out of here today stronger than you were, in part because of them, because we are highly contagious. That may not be the right thing to say right now, but I'm not talking about with a virus. I'm talking about we're contagious with the Word of God. We're contagious with faith. We're contagious with victory. We're contagious with hope. There is no obstacle too big for you. There is no enemy too powerful. Our God is all-powerful, family. And even if you can't see how it can happen, don't use your energy to worry. Use your energy to believe God. Amen. God brought you through in the past, and He's going to bring you through in the future. Surround yourself with people of faith, people who speak victory to you. Because let me tell you, your destiny is too great, and your assignment is too important, and your time is too valuable to let fear intimidate you. If the things we fear can come upon us, as the Bible says, how much more can the things we have faith for come upon us? God's power is so much greater than the enemy's power. And with faith, when fear knocks at the door, faith answers the door. Don't come in agreement with the fear. No. Don't be coming in agreement with the fear. I heard that the governor of L.A. said 50% of L.A. is going to get the coronavirus. I don't agree with that in the name of Jesus. I declare that this coronavirus is dissipating, that it is being eradicated in the name of Jesus. You've got to stay disciplined in your thought life. That's the reason that many people are down and discouraged and negative, because they don't guard their mind. That's where the battle's taking place. If you'll be disciplined in your thought life and choose to activate faith instead of activating fear, let me tell you, I believe that God is going to bring your dreams to pass. I believe God is going to pour out a flood of His favor. I believe God is going to protect you. I declare you're going to overcome every obstacle, and you are going to defeat every enemy, and you're going to become everything that God created you to be in the name of Jesus. Can you say amen? I want you to say this with me as we close today. Let's declare Psalm 91 over ourselves and our family. Psalm 91, say this. Say, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is my fortress. He is my place of safety. He is my God. I trust in Him. Surely He will deliver me from every trap and protect me from every disease. Even if thousands are dying around me, I will remain unharmed. These evils will not touch me. I do not fear disease because His angels surround me, protect me, wherever I go, because I trust in His name. They hold me up with their hands. I won't even hurt my foot on a stone. Say, God is with me in trouble. He delivers me. He sets me in a high place, safe and secure, with long life. He satisfies me, and I enjoy the fullness of His salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. If you got something out of this morning, why don't you give the Lord a big hand of praise? We're so glad you watched today. So Pastor Jill is going to come and encourage us this morning. Do you know right now, not only are people facing a lot of fear over the coronavirus, but now it's over the economy.
Right.
It's people, there are hundreds of thousands of people out of work. And I want to tell you, just like God can protect us from this virus, how many believe God can provide for us? Even if we're in a famine, God can take care of us. Amen. The Pastor Jill is going to encourage us this morning.
I want to encourage you. I want to build your faith in this area. And those that are watching, don't switch off now just because Pastor Steve's finished preaching. You need to hear this, because how many things can change in a week? We just proved it, right? A lot can change in a week. And I know there are people that are facing challenges and fears about the future financially. And so there's a big shakeup going all around the world in various different businesses or people's backgrounds. And I want to remind you that now is the time to trust God. Amen. We've got to trust God. Do you know that in the Bible we see God providing for a widow in a time of famine with her last meal? But she trusted God enough to put Him first. Come on, these are stories, like Pastor Steve said, they are stories that are there as an example to us. This is what God will do for you. We need to trust God. And so I'm going to just read you a couple of verses from Genesis 26. It's a story about Isaac. And there's a couple of principles that I feel like really apply to us in this situation. And if you're watching online, you're able to give and participate on Facebook and on our app. So thank you for doing that. Those who are here, we have our envelopes. We have a kiosk outside. You know, someone was asking me this week about online giving. And Maria actually said to me, remind me again about text giving. And there's a number that you text. It's up on the screen there. It's also on the envelopes. If you the first time you do it, you just you put that number in, you text to it, and you just if you were giving $100, you would just put 100, and it will respond to you. And the first time you do it, there's a little setup, so it'll just get you to give some information. From that point on, you will never have to do that setup. You would just put in the number. And it would say, do you want to donate this, yes or no, Y or N? And you just put Y and simply goes forward. That's just convenience for you. But anyway, I want to read just a couple of principles I want to give you from Genesis 26. You know, God had given a promise to Abraham. He had promised him. He said, I'm going to bless you. And now in this story, we see that God speaks to Abraham's son Isaac when there was a famine in the land. And Genesis 26, verse 2, it says, the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he said, do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in the land, and I will be with you. I will bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and to your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham, your father. So do you know that the first principle is God will direct you in difficult times. He said, there's a famine, Isaac. I'm aware of it. Now I'm going to tell you what to do in this situation. You know, God will tell you and lead you. It may be a little different direction to what you thought you were going to go in, but he will lead you. And as a child of God, just like he blessed Abraham and Isaac, he has promised to bless you. That's what I want to remind you today. God has promised to bless you. And then it says in verse 12, it says, when Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted, for the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats, herds of cattle and servants, that the Philistines became jealous of him. So you see God blessing him. And remember, he's sowing in a time of famine. This is not a good time to plant anything, right, in the natural. But he's following God's direction. And I want to say to you, it is very important to keep sowing, to keep tithing, to keep giving, even when you're facing difficulty, especially when you're facing difficulty, because it is a huge way to demonstrate that you are trusting God. Amen. I want to remind you, because I want to see you come out on the other side blessed. And so you might say, well, I've seen the Lord bless me, but now look at all these challenges. You know, I thought I was getting ahead, but now look at all these things that have come against me. I want to tell you that everybody faces challenges. Do you know that in this story, you might say, well, that's a wonderful story. Isaac was blessed by God. He sowed and he reaped. He became so prosperous, they were jealous of him. But then, you know, he faced some challenges. It says that they were so jealous of him that they threw sand in all his wells. So he had to move on and start again. He moves on and he starts again. And then some shepherds come. They hit some fresh water. They dug some wells. Some shepherds come and say, hey, that's our water. You've got to move on. So Isaac and his servants have to uproot and they have to move on again. They dig wells, and then the Bible says there was a dispute over that lot. And so they faced all kinds of challenges. Then they moved on one last time, and then they found peace, and they lived in the blessing. And then the Lord appeared to Isaac, and he said this. It says, this time they had no opposition, and the Lord appeared to him and said, on the night of his arrival, I am the God of your father Abraham, he said. Moved on. Do not be afraid. Say, do not be afraid. He said, for I am with you and I will bless you. I will multiply your descendants and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. So say this, say, I won't be afraid, for God is with me. He blesses me. And you know that he's done this because he has promised it to us. You know, fear focuses on a bad outcome. That's what Pastor Steve's been preaching so well about today. Because your fear will focus on what if. What if? The devil's always trying to get you to envision a future in which you don't have enough. But let me tell you, these challenges that Isaac faced, they didn't stop the blessing of God. The blessing was on Abraham. So it didn't matter if the king of the Philistines said, move to another land. It didn't matter if the shepherds moved him. It didn't matter what challenge came. That blessing was on him, the promise of God to bless him, and it happened in his life. Amen? I'm encouraging you today. As you tithe today, I want you to remember that faith in God's word works anywhere, in any condition. And God is too faithful to fail you, right? You may not see how, but I tell you, God will bless you. Keep your trust in him. The Bible says he is famous for his faithfulness. Amen. Do you agree with me on that? I want you to trust God. So today as we give, go ahead, those that are online and those that are here and you haven't given online already, go ahead and participate with us. And as you sow, we're doing this in faith. We're doing this with a declaration that I know the blessing of God is on my life. And if, like Pastor Steve said, one door closes, God's got another way. He's got another way to bless me. Amen. And not just give me just enough, give me more than
That's
enough.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
Do you want to go ahead, my darling?
I'm ready when you are.
You want to pray for us?
Why not? Let's do that. Let's pray
you
together. Let's pray together. I want to thank everyone who's given online. We so appreciate it this week. The members of our church have really been so faithful and generous. And we want to pray right now. If you're giving online, we're praying right now with you. If you're here live in service, hold your offering in your hand, your tithe. We're going to pray. We're going to trust God. Let me tell you, the Lord is able to take care of us, isn't he? No matter what. Isn't that right? Say, Father, I thank you today for your people. I thank you for their faith in you. And as they give, Lord, and as they tithe, we do so because we are demonstrating that we trust you, Lord. You are the God who supplies all our needs. And I thank you for blessing your people. I thank you for opening the windows of heaven. I thank you for pouring blessing, rebuking the devourer. I thank you for opening new doors that no one can shut. I thank you that your favor surrounds them, goes before them. And I thank you for providing every need, Lord, meeting every need. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. Thank you, ushers, so much. I want to just let you know that did anyone see the TV ad that we ran, the TV spot we ran on television for today? Did anyone see it? Did you see it on TV, Carol? No, I want to know if someone saw it on TV because I was looking for it, man. But we had all these spots going out. A businessman in our church, we were talking this week, and he said, Pastor Steve, I feel like we need to let everyone know that our doors are open and that we're having church. And I think we should do a TV commercial, and if you can get it in time, I'll pay for it. This was on Wednesday night. On Thursday, we came in, filmed a commercial, got it out on Saturday. It's going all over, 500 spots on CNN, Fox, History, comedy, all these channels. And so, listen, I called the police department and I said, is there a ban on us having church? Is there a ban? They said, there's no ban. There's just a recommendation. Now, listen, I don't shut church down on a recommendation. Are you with me? I've got another recommendation. But I'm planning on being here next Sunday. And the only way we won't be is if there is a legal ban. I'm not going to break that. I'm not going to put everybody at risk. But if there's no legal ban, I'll be here next Sunday. Yeah. And if there is a legal ban, we'll be online next Sunday. Amen. But I believe, listen, I believe, Bill, people are going to see that advert. They're watching online and people are going to come. We got Easter coming up. We're having Easter just 3 weeks from today. We're having Good Friday service on Good Friday. That's April 10th, 7 p.m. We're having Good Friday. So this is the first time we've done a Good Friday service. But I believe we should come on Friday and remember Jesus' crucifixion. We're going to have communion. And then Sunday is going to be Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. And we're going to have a great time that weekend. We've got a huge Easter egg hunt going on for the kids. When you came in today, you should have been given some of these invitation cards. Did anyone give you one of these little Easter cards? Anybody? No. Ushers, when they go out today, can I ask the ushers to hand these cards to people, to be inviting people? Listen, I'm planning on having Easter service. I'm planning on having Good Friday. I'm planning on seeing this place. Are you planning on that too? Do you know, we have a businessman in our church who has a factory in China. And he told me that at his factory in China, they have not had one case of coronavirus in 23 days. And all of his factory workers are back at work. And he's shipping product right now. Now listen, don't believe the reports that this is going to go on for 6 months. And Kenneth Copeland had a word from the Lord. And the Lord gave Kenneth Copeland a word, and he said, this is going to be over sooner than you think. I declare this virus is dissipating in the name of Jesus. And I'm planning to be here on Sunday. And I'm planning on having Easter Sunday. I'm planning on being here. Take some of the invites. Start inviting people. I believe this is going to be over sooner than what we think. Amen. I want you to stand with me real fast. Would you stand up? We never ever close a service without giving people an opportunity to make sure that everything is right between you and the Lord. I want to ask you to just close your eyes for a moment. Just bow your heads, even if you're watching this online. If you're not sure where you stand with God today, if you're not sure if all is well between you and the Lord, if you were to die today, if you can't say for sure, Pastor Steve, if I died today, I'd know I'd go to heaven. I'm absolutely certain of it. Let me tell you the good news is you can be certain of that. You can know that you know that one day when you leave this life, heaven is where you're going to spend eternity. There is a heaven to gain, and there is a hell to shun. And I want to pray right now for every person that says, Pastor Steve, pray for me. I want to make sure when I die, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Pray for me. I want to know the Lord is with me, protecting me. Pray for me. I want to pray for you. If you want to be included in this prayer, if you say, Pastor Steve, pray for me, I want to make sure that all is right with me and God. Pray for me. If that's you right now, I want you quickly to just lift your hand. Just wave at me. Just lift your hand and wave at me. I'm looking for hands. If your hand is raised, you're included. If you're watching this at home, the Bible says in Romans 10 verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's how you become a child of God. That's how you become a Christian. That's how you get saved, by believing that Jesus rose from the dead, that he's alive, and confessing and receiving him to be the Lord of your life. So if you've never done that, do it with me right now. Everybody, say this prayer. Say this prayer. Say, Father, say Lord God. Say, Lord, I thank you that you love me so much. You sent your Son to come to this earth and die on a cross for me. Shed his blood for me. Say this with me. Say, Lord, you said that if I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead, and if I would confess Jesus is my Lord, you said I would be saved. I do this today, freely and willingly. Say, I believe with all my heart, Jesus, you're alive. You've been raised from the dead. And I ask you, come into my heart. Forgive me of my sin. Save me, Lord. Make me your child. Because today, I confess Jesus is Lord of my life. I surrender my life to you. And I thank you, Lord, that I am now saved. I'm born again. I am a child of God. God, you are my very own Father. I'm your very own child. Heaven is my home, and my name is written down in the book of life. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And amen. Listen, as we before we go today, can we just sing one more time together? He turns graves into gardens. Let's declare it together.
He turns graves into gardens.
Yes.
You he turns bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the
Sunday. Watch next Sunday. Have a great week, everybody. God bless you.